Well, we are going to continue our series that we've been in for several weeks now in the passion of our church, which is the pursuit of God's greatness. And we want to look at that only as God defines it, as He defines greatness. And over the last several weeks, we've looked at what it means to be a great church and really to live out a great life within a great church. And the first thing we looked at was the great commandment that our Lord gives us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Then we looked over the last couple of weeks at the Great Commission. A great church fulfills the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And then this morning we're going to look thirdly, and our last in this series, but we're going to spend some time here, the great call, the great call. And you know what that is? The greatest call on your life and mine is to holiness. It's to holiness. That is the end result of making disciples, is making a people righteous unto the Lord. Let's ask God to bless our time in His Word. Living God, we ask that in the name of Jesus and by the powerful work of your Spirit, you would bring home to our hearts these wonderful truths, that our faith would grow and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and what it means to be His followers. We pray in His precious name. Amen. Now, we have some doctrine in Jesus Christ, His cross and resurrection. Everyone needs to be saved. That teaches a doctrine of original sin. All of us born and act as sinners and stand in need of God's grace of salvation. Everyone needs to be saved. The second thing we want to understand is that everyone can be saved, that Christ has died for everyone. It is a universal atonement that Christ has made on the cross. And third, everyone can know that they are saved. That is the doctrine of assurance. And that's a very important doctrine for our hearts, a settled rest and an assurance that we have salvation in Christ. And the last thing is that we can be saved to the uttermost. And that's what we're focusing on today. When I say to the uttermost, that's a New Testament word, or one of the ways to describe the fullness of salvation, the glorious fullness. We've seen in a couple of ways, and I know from experience, it's not always easy to preach some of the things in the Scripture. It's not. Some things we have to proclaim make even the preacher cringe. I mean, some things that are just tough to say. There's another aspect of bold preaching that has to do not with the negative, but with the positive. There are some things so glorious in the Scripture that they're hard to believe. But I want to preach boldly today on the fullness of God's salvation and the result being a sanctified life, that is a life pursuing holiness through the grace of God. I want you to believe what the Bible says about you and what is possible for you, regardless of how good it is. I want you to believe it. There's a friend of mine, I just met with him last week, He was talking to me about this word holiness, and he told me that he was 30-something years old before he ever heard the word holiness. And he grew up in a Methodist church, and he had never even heard the word until a revival preacher came to his home church and preached this message of what God can do to transform the human heart. And it was at that moment he said, I made my total life commitment to God. How good it is, these promises, and how they can reflect in a life that knows God. So I want us to hear that word today and the biblical teaching. Now there are many expressions of this in the Old and New Testament. It is all through the Bible. This call for the people of God to reflect God's character in holiness is all through the Bible. But I want you to see what I think is a very beautiful summary in this statement from Peter. This is from chapter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy. There's the word. There's the calling. He called you. That's the great call. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And this is an incredible statement. Is this even possible? Well, the promises of Scripture always come with the power. Well, we're going to look at that more closely. But the first thing I want you to notice in this passage is the continuity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Peter here is quoting an Old Testament passage in Leviticus chapter 11. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Direct quote from the Old Testament. There's a continuity between God's call on His people in the Old Testament and the New Testament church. The faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the prophets and Moses and all the kings and priests, the same call on the people today in His church. There's continuity. The call to holiness is also as obedient children to all the children of God, to all who have come to faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. This is not written to a group of pastors. Peter is not writing to a seminary. He's writing to the church, to common everyday folk who have come to know God. And he's giving them this grand vision of what life can be. And sometimes I'm afraid we don't look to this grand vision as we should. I'm speaking to myself. More and more we need to see this call, this great call that's on the lives of God's people. And I think it can be summarized in this simple statement. Based on what Peter said, holiness is conforming our conduct as children of God to the character of God. Notice again, be holy as I am holy, to the character of God. Jerry Bridges, who wrote The Pursuit of Holiness, says this: many Christians have what we might call a cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior pattern of Christians around them. But God has not called us to be like those around us. He has called us to be like Himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. Conformity to the character of God. So I want to add this to it before this scares us too much. Holiness is conforming our character as children of God. That is, children who have been forgiven through the grace of Christ and empowered by the grace of the Holy Spirit to the character of God. Those who are called to this life have been forgiven and can be empowered to live out this new life. That is to say, the character of God. John Oswalt, who preached here at Trinity not too long ago, wrote a book called To Be Holy. He says this: the fate of the Christian church in America and around the world depends upon what the church does with the biblical doctrine of holiness, with how seriously it takes the biblical teaching that Christians are to live lives which radically manifest the unique character of God. This is a grand vision for the church, to be God's particular people in this world, to live a certain way. How seriously do we take this? Now, we must remember that Peter links grace and transformation together, the grace of forgiveness and the grace of the Spirit, along with a transformed life. And he, like the rest of the New Testament authors, he centers this all in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our everything. He is the full scope of our salvation. And in the New Testament, it is captured in the two-word phrase, in Christ. Those who are in Christ, that is, those by grace through faith in Him, those who are in Him have this full salvation. And we must look more and more to the fullness of the salvation of God. It's captured in this verse, I think, very well. This is Apostle Paul. And because of Him, you are, because of the grace of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, what is Christ to us? Wisdom from God, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, but it is the wisdom and power of God for those who believe. What else is Christ for us? He is righteousness and sanctification. That's a big word which simply means called to holiness. Sanctification, called to holiness. And he's our redemption. That is the fullness of God's work, which ultimately leads to eternal life. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, if we have anything to boast about, can I tell you what it is? Christ. It is Christ and him alone. Now, again, Peter links this grace and transformation. I think it's going to be helpful for us this morning to distinguish what God's grace in Christ does for us and what his grace does in us. Now, I think this is very important for us to distinguish the grace of God. Now, there are two key New Testament words that help us to understand the fullness of salvation. And those two words are justification and sanctification. Now, it's important to distinguish those, although we again emphasize it is all of the same grace of God in Christ by the Spirit. But let's look at this and understand the fullness of salvation a little better. First of all, justification is a work that was done for us in Jesus Christ. God did something for us in Christ on the cross that we could not do for ourselves, put away sin. We could not save ourselves. So Christ came into this world. He wrapped himself in flesh, the eternal Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. He came up out of that grave. All of that for our salvation, that is our justification. But then he gave us new life and started a new work in us. Sanctification is this beginning of the new life in Christ, a work in us, a work for us and a work in us. Justification is righteousness imputed to us. Imputed means given to our account. The righteousness of Christ is put upon us. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Thanks be to God. We will stand before a holy God. Christ has come to clothe us with his righteousness. But in sanctification, righteousness has been imparted to our hearts. We can actually live a new life because of this impartation of grace and new life for the believer. Justification is a relative change. That is, our relationship with God changes when we come to him. We're no longer at enmity with God. We are reconciled to him. But also, sanctification brings about a real change for the heart. Something happens inside when we come to Christ. Justification restores God's favor. Sanctification restores God's image. We were created in righteousness. And Adam and Eve blew that. And ever since then, their prodigy has the mark of sin. But God is about restoring original righteousness in us. That is the fullness of salvation. Justification is sin pardoned. Sanctification is sin subdued. Justification deals with the penalty of sin. All of us will stand before a holy God. Thanks be to God that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No condemnation. But sanctification deals with the power of sin. Sin is no longer to have dominion over us. That's the fullness of salvation. In justification, we are all equally justified. Those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. You're just as justified as I am. But in sanctification, you may be more sanctified than I am. Sanctification, there's not an equally sanctified person, because justification gives us peace with God. Sanctification is power from God. Justification is a gift of belief. When we receive the gift of God's grace, sanctification is the ongoing process and growth of the believer. That is our call to the fullness of salvation in the word holiness or righteousness. Now, all that is to say this: salvation is more than just deliverance from hell and the forgiveness of sins. Although I thank God for that. It is more than that. It is righteousness made possible for the people of God. We are sinners saved by grace, but we're also to be changed, transformed by grace as well. It is the work of God's grace whereby the whole man is renewed. The whole man is renewed in the image of God. And we're empowered more and more to die to sin and live to righteousness. Now note this. This is mainly a work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is called holy. He is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be set apart for God and to live a certain way. Oswald Chambers, in his great book, My Utmost for His Highest, says this: God has one destined end for mankind, holiness. His one aim is the production of saints. Did you know that? God is not an eternal blessing machine for men. He did not come to save men out of pity. He came to save because He had created them to be holy. And now, through the grace of Christ and the powerful work of the Spirit, He is restoring us to that original righteousness. Now, we understand righteousness in terms of Christ, in His work of righteousness applied to our lives. We understand that. But also, it is imparted righteousness. Don't forget that. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we are called to this life set apart to glorify God, this life in righteousness. Now, how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, first of all, He has to give us new life. There is new life through the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we actually sang this, our first song, about a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this new has come, and it brings a new life and a new way of life. Adam and Eve were created in righteousness. We have been recreated as a new creation in order to restore that which was lost. God is bringing back that which was lost in the fall. He's restoring righteousness to His people. This is the greatness of God's grace, the grand vision of the life He gives in Jesus Christ. So, again, I say, Christ did not come just to forgive. Thank God He did, but He has come to renew us after His image. And that requires new life, which He gives by the work of His Spirit. And this new life brings new desires, a new desire to please God, a new aim in life, new aspirations, new hopes, a new heaven and a new earth that is coming one day, new possessions of faith and pursuit of righteousness. Not only does the Holy Spirit give us new life, but He also cleanses. He's doing this work of cleansing. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Notice again, all of this happens through the grace of Christ, by the work of the Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God. This cleansing operation. I remember my brother and I, when we were growing up, we loved to have a day out just playing all day. We had an old junkyard not too far from our house. And we loved to go to that junkyard and climb up on the old cars and just play. And we would come home at night, and I mean, y'all, we were filthy, we were stinky, we were a mess, and Mama said, you need to go get a bath. And you know what our idea of a bath was? Just put on pajamas, put on clean pajamas. You can't fake cleansing. Mama always figured that out. You can't fake it. It's not just an outward garment that we put on. It begins in the heart. This cleansing of the Spirit in the heart and is expressed in our life, in our calling to follow Christ in a certain way, in a certain conduct, according to the character of God. This cleansing power of the Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit operates sometimes like a light, you know, a dimmer light that you turn up. And when the light is kind of low, you don't see certain things. You don't see the dust on the bookshelf. You don't see the ring on the countertop and so forth. But when that light is turned up, there are things we begin to see that need to be cleansed. And that's the powerful work of the Spirit. Now, remember this. There is an initial cleansing that we have through the grace of Jesus Christ, through His blood on the cross. When we place our faith in Him, there's a cleansing that covers us. This righteousness of Christ, that is the only way we can enter into the presence of a holy God. But there's also this daily cleansing that we need by the Spirit. If you remember the great illustration when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter said, "Wash me all over." And Jesus said, "No, you're already clean, Peter, in that way. But I have to clean your feet." And the Spirit's always cleaning the feet on our walk, this journey, this walk with God. We're always needing this cleansing of the feet, this work of the Spirit to cleanse the people of God as He deals continuously with this pollution of sin. And then the Spirit, not only is He gives us new life, not only does He cleanse us, but the Spirit's work is about changing us. We're being transformed. Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Transformed into the same image, the image of Christ. We're being made to look like Jesus Christ, transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes how? From the Lord, who is the Spirit. One day at a time, one step at a time, one degree at a time, from glory to glory, the Holy Spirit is transforming the people of God. This is a grand vision. This is a great call. His work within us, cleansing, changing. It is for us just simply not to resist this work of the Spirit, to be open, to actively seek to eliminate some things from our lives and to add other things to our lives. We are coming alongside the Holy Spirit in His work of making us more like Jesus Christ. What is the call of the people of God? Well, it begins here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Receive the Spirit, and then respond to His work. Present yourself as a living sacrifice to God and the Spirit's work. Pray for the Spirit's filling and work in your life, and then respond in humble obedience. Do you know what this means? This means we'll learn to love God and fulfill the great commandment. This means we will learn to make disciples and answer the great call to holiness. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, O God, give us grace to live it out. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Lord, this is a great call upon our lives. And if it did not come with promises of your presence and power in our lives, we know this would be impossible. Yet here we stand with this truth before us, asking you to help us live into this vision. This vision that we have as a church, as families, as individuals, of pursuing your greatness in our lives. And Lord, this is an aspect of that. Help us just to learn as the days of this spiritual journey continue, to learn what it means to walk the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, we come today. We come today acknowledging our need of your work in our hearts, your cleansing and changing power. May it be revealed in us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.